Well, hello everyone. Many people have asked, why did Mr. Armstrong use the 19-year time cycle, and what does it mean? There are two ways the 19-year time cycle has been used in God's church. One as a significant or prophetic number, and two, astronomically in calculating God's calendar. In God's Word, the Bible, certain numbers have a numerical significance to them. We've seen this in the church. Some examples are 3, finality of judgment, 7, perfection, 10, completeness, 12, organizational beginnings, and 40, trial or testing. The number 19 can describe a prophetic time cycle of years. In Mr. Armstrong's autobiography, he describes some facts that show how God's hand was involved. And this is what he says. Jesus began the actual teaching and training of his original disciples for carrying out his gospel to the world in the year AD 27. Precisely 100 time cycles later, in 1927, he began my intensive study and training for carrying his same gospel to all nations of today's world. It is important that we realize the significance of 100 time cycles. God set the earth, the sun, and moon in their orbits to mark off divisions of time on the earth. One revolution of the earth is a day. One revolution of the moon around the earth is a lunar month, according to God's sacred calendar. And one revolution of the earth around the sun is a solar year. But the earth, the sun, and the moon come into almost exact conjunction only once in 19 years. And that conjunction is position, supposition of the earth, sun, and moon, essentially in a plane. They're almost exactly lined up in a plane in the background of the fixed stars. Thus, 19 years marks off one complete time cycle. And he continues, now consider further facts. It was on the day of Pentecost, and the year was AD 31, exactly 100 time cycles later, after 3.5 years of intensive study and training, Christ ordained me to preach this same gospel of the kingdom in all the world as a witness to all nations. This ordination took place at or very near the day of Pentecost, 1931. Christ started out his original apostles preaching the very gospel, the very same gospel of the kingdom of God, and it had to be sent. It was sent by him, which he had taught to the apostles in the year AD 31. For exactly one 19-year time cycle, this preaching of the gospel was confined to the continent where it started in Asia. And after precisely one 19-year time cycle, AD 50, Christ opened a door for the Apostle Paul to carry the same gospel to Europe. Now, these were some examples of how the number 19 has been used as a significant number in God's church, and there's many more. However, there is a difference in how the astronomical 19-year time cycle is applied when calculating the biblical calendar, as we will see later. Mr. and Mrs. Armstrong knew that they needed to keep the annual holy days way back in the late 1920s. They needed to figure out when to keep them, and this meant they needed God's calendar so that they knew which days of the year to keep. And they kept the holy days for several years as best they could, although not understanding the full meaning of them. And the Sardis era at that time knew about observing the weekly Sabbath, but never observed the annual holy days. How important is the Feast of Trumpets in calculating God's calendar? How do we know that we will be observing the correct time or day? Do we only look at a card or a printed sheet or go to certain websites and accept what it says there as the proper timing for observing the holy days and festivals? And in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21, God says that we are to test or prove all things and hold fast to what is good. So in other words, those cards, websites, they have correct information on God's calendar, most of them. So, but we don't have to look only to those. And it's good to know the background of this, God's calendar. So we will see how God's calendar is based on His commandments and statutes, and how God has applied the astronomical 19-year time cycle as the most important basic feature for calculating His calendar. We'll go through that. This in turn will make available for us the right timing to observe His holy days and festivals. Now, man's calendar starts in the middle of the winter, just after the winter solstice, as we're seeing. Whereas God's calendar starts in the springtime, at the beginning of the growing season. Even the first month called Abib means green or tender ears of grain for Israel, and begins in the March-April time period. And God's calendar also points to the setting up of the kingdom of God, the gospel message. His calendar calculates the holy days and festivals, which is His plan, a process of salvation for all of us in His church, and ultimately the whole world to be in His kingdom with His Son, Jesus Christ, forever. So we need to go back now to the beginning, and let's turn to Genesis, the creation week, Genesis chapter 1, and we'll start in verse 14. Where it says, "Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years." And seasons, that word, the Hebrew word is moedim. So it's God's appointed times as well. "And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light to the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good." And I have Moffat translation, that same Genesis 1, that has a good way of introducing that, and that it says that in verse 14, "Then God said, let there be lights in the vault of heaven to separate day from night, to mark out the sacred seasons, the days and the years, and let them shine in the vault of heaven to shed light on the earth. And so it was." And then he goes through the rest of the scriptures. So let's turn to Psalms 104. Psalms 104 and verse 19. This is used quite often. It's very good because it says, "He appointed," God appointed the moon, months, for seasons, that's those appointed times, "and the sun knows it's going down." These scriptures show how the sun and the moon were set in motion, providing day and night, letting them serve to mark the seasons or festivals, days and years. Because of this, God's calendar is constructed using both the lunar and solar cycles, both of them. Also, from the beginning of creation, God's holy day plan was revealed to mankind and patterned or fit within the biblical calendar seasons of spring, summer, autumn around Jerusalem. Now, in the booklet, U.S. and Britain in Prophecy, the 1967 version on page 146, Mr. Armstrong states, in ancient biblical times, a year was figured on the basis of 12 30-day months. Previous to the time of Moses' day when God gave his people the sacred calendar, the 30-day month was used. And let's notice Genesis 7. Go back to Genesis 7. We'll read verse 11 where it says, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the great deep were broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. And chapter 8, and we'll pick up in verse 2. The fountains of the deep and windows of heaven were also stopped. This is later on, a bit later on. And the rain from heaven was restrained, because God remembered Noah and the ark. And the waters receded continually from the earth. At the end of the 150 days, the waters decreased. Then the ark rested in the seventh month, the 17th day of the month, on the mountains of Ararat. So notice, the flood started on the 17th day of the second month. At the end of 150 days, the ark rested on Mount Ararat on the 17th day of the seventh month. That was 5 months to the day. 5 30-day months are precisely 150 days. So months then were 30-day months. From the time of creation until the flood, God could have, although we're not sure, established a perfect 360-year with 12 months of exactly 30-day lengths. Then the lunar and solar year cycles would have been exactly the same during the year. We don't know that for sure, but that could have been based on God's word. Now let's turn to Leviticus 23. And we will read verses 1, 2, and 4. It says, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts, his appointed times. It's the same Moedim back in Genesis 1, 14. It's that same Hebrew word, the plural form. And then it goes into the Sabbath day, the weekly Sabbath day. And then verse 4, these are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. That's the same Moedim. It's a Hebrew word. The number is 4150. Now let's look at Exodus 13 and verse 10. Back to Exodus 13 and verse 10, where it says, you shall therefore keep this ordinance. That's in the unleavened bread time frame. You shall therefore keep this ordinance in its season from year to year. That's that same word, the Hebrew word. Now, as a model nation back then, and to all nations during the millennium, God commanded Israel to observe the holy days at his appointed times, within their seasons from year to year, and also in definite months, as we'll see. In other words, the phases of the moon determine the progression of the lunar month, and each year, God's annual festivals from the Hebrew calendar are either connected to the new moon at the beginning of the month, and the full moon in the middle of the month. The Feast of Trumpets falls on the new moon, that's a capital new moon, and the full moon starts the Feast of Tabernacles. Now let's turn to Psalms 81. Psalms 81, and we'll just read verse 3, Psalms 81. There it says, blow the trumpet at the time of the capital new moon, at the full moon on our solemn feast day. So that's that new moon, Feast of Trumpets, and then the Feast of Tabernacles at the full moon, the 15th, middle of the month, of the seventh month. Now let's turn back to Exodus 13. No, we went through Exodus 13. We're going to turn to Leviticus 23. Yes. Okay. Got that right now. Leviticus 23. And we'll read verse 24 and 25. This is real important here, showing the same thing. Speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. In verse 34, it says, speak to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days to the Lord. So we see the new moon, first of the month, and the full moon in the middle of the month. So the sun and moon determine the physical days, the lunar months, and the solar year according to God's physical laws that govern the universe. But we see more importantly that when connected with God's spiritual law, they determine God's festivals, and the festivals reveal to us God's plan for building His family for all mankind. He set this in motion from the very beginning of creation. But first, we need to ask, since this is God's calendar, who did He give to be the calendar specialist? Because there's much calculation involved in this. Is it up to us individually, or a religious group, or a council to decide? Who has this authority from God to decide His calendar? And the answer of this question can be found, let's turn to Acts. This is one of the reasons, Acts chapter 7. Acts 7 and verse 37. It says, this is that Moses who said to the children of Israel, now, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren, him, capital him, you shall hear. This is he who was in the wilderness, who was in the congregation in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai. Of course, this is talking about Moses now. And with our fathers, the one who received the living oracles to give to us. Israel was given the oracles or sayings of God long ago. The oracles of God, which included His calendar, were given to Moses to give to them, Israel. And the Bible states in 1 Chronicles 12, and let's turn to 1 Chronicles verse 12, we'll read verse 32. This is important because God can give that understanding to calculate His calendar. And it says in verse 32, it says, of the sons of Issachar, one of the tribes of Israel, who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. That's God's laws and statutes. Now when David was made king over all Israel, that of the children of Issachar were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. They knew how to do this calculation from God's understanding. He gave them that understanding. And it's through calculation, not just observation. But we know that Israel did not keep God's commandments and statutes. And due to their rebellion against him in 721 BC, were taken into captivity by the Assyrians and lost their true identity, the knowledge of God's sacred calendar. Then who did? God gave the Jews of the tribe Judah the responsibility of preserving his oracles, which had split away from the nation of Israel. And even though rebellious and also taken into captivity later by the Babylonians, the Jews still did not lose their identity, and important kept that advantage of preserving God's word when they returned to Jerusalem 70 years later, as it states, and let's turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans 3. Verses 1 and 2. This is very important scripture. It says, what advantage then has the Jew, or what is the profit of circumcision? Much in every way that advantage, chiefly because to them were committed the oracles or sayings of God. Through God's prophets, the Jews came to understand why they were taken captive for breaking God's laws, and therefore became very strict and meticulous in preserving the oracles of God, which included the Hebrew calendar. And let's turn to Nehemiah now. Nehemiah. It's Ezra, Nehemiah. Nehemiah, Ezra, let's see. Nehemiah chapter 8. Let's turn to chapter 8 of Nehemiah. And we'll just read the first two verses of Nehemiah 8. Now all the people, this is in Jerusalem, now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in the front, that was in front of the water gate, and they told Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra, the priest, brought the law before the assembly of men and women, and all who could hear with understanding, on the first day of the seventh month. That was the Feast of Trumpets. Now the oracles preserved by God through the Jewish people were these. Three, the Holy Scriptures, or the Old Testament Scriptures, the Sabbath, and his calendar. And the weekly Sabbath is revealed by divine revelation in Genesis 2, and they're kept every seventh day. The calendar, however, which includes the seven annual holy days and festivals, needs to be calculated, which the Jews were given that responsibility. And except for Pentecost, the holy days were to be observed on set calendar dates each year. So although the Jews had the responsibility to preserve the correct calendar, and they have done this very well, even up to today and through on, the interpretation behind the calendar days was not to be determined by them. Only God retains the right to tell us in his word, the Bible, what date on the calendar to keep his festivals. We need always remember that. And Mr. Armstrong many years ago concluded that Romans 3 and verse 1 and 2, which we just read, showed that the calendar, along with the Hebrew texts of the Old Testament, was among the oracles of God. So what advantage do the Jews have even today? They have preserved the oracles or sayings of God, which includes the knowledge of calculating the Jewish or Hebrew calendar. Now I have a kind of interesting, a 1940 good news letter that Mr. Armstrong sent out to the brethren, and it's titled Good News Letter 1940, How to Figure Passover. So, and they were saying Passover is on the 14th of the first month, Abib. It said, and I'm just going to read just a few sections here, just in short sections. The problem that they had, the problem is to figure when is first day, the first day of the month of Abib. And we'll find out, that is critical. When is the first day of the month Abib? When you know that, then you can figure the rest. That's what they were looking at. And he says, we learn in the Bible, and this is what we just went through, but let's go over again. We learn in the Bible, the men of old did have understanding of the times. They knew how to figure time. Of the children of Issachar were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, which we just read. So they knew that. And then further, God did not commit his oracles or the preservation of his times to profane history or to the Roman Catholics, but to the Israelites. And they have been preserved by the Jews. And then finally, that's their conclusion here, is after a thorough study of the Bible, of the Hebrew calendar, of history and every angle, back then, 1940, after going into the matter with all the Eugene brethren, so we know where that was, and other brethren who have made a special study of this question, we have unanimously agreed that the Hebrew calendar has been preserved correctly by the Jews. Now later in God's church, Ambassador College had a class entitled Computing the Biblical Calendar. It was a hands-on approach for interested students to understand the details of how to construct God's calendar in much the same way and procedure the Jews construct their biblical calendar today. It's the same procedure. Now let's look briefly at this hands-on approach as if we, you and I, were one of these students. We'll go through some basics. Once Israel was delivered from Egypt, God straightened them out as to time. And let's turn to Exodus chapter 12. Verse 2. We read that, but let's read it again, because this starts in this calendar description. It says, this month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year. And let's turn to chapter 34 now, of Exodus 34, and we'll find out what that month was in God's word, actually. In verse 18, the feast of unleavened bread you shall keep. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, as I commanded you, in the appointed time of the month of Abib. For in the month of Abib you came out from Egypt. That's that first month, Abib. But we also have to remember that the beginning of the biblical year must start in the springtime, the spring season, a time of increasing daylight hours and warming temperatures. This was God's way of keeping the annual holy days and festivals in their proper appointed times, as God instructs us in Leviticus 23, the whole chapter. Now here's an example of a calendar, and we can see this on our website. This was put on the website, but it's well illustrated, and it goes through all the months of the year. And it has the Gregorian dates, our own calendar we use today, but also it has the Hebrew calendar there with it. And we go through some more here. We'll see that in April, we'll see that the holy days are during this month. And next, this is the next year, 2022. And then there's also at the end, Pentecost and Sivan. And then at the very end of the year, the Feast of Trumpets. Feast of Trumpets will be the September 26th. And then, of course, and in October, we have Atonement and the Feast of Tabernacles and Last Great Day, all in the month of Tishri. Now, what we're going to do is look at some scriptures that are in God's Word that identify some of these Hebrew months of God's calendar, proof that we do have the correct calendar. And I'm just going to, we've already looked at Abib, that's that first month, and so we'll go through there. We've already gone through that, the first month of the Jewish year. It's in the March-April time frame, and now we'll go to Iyar, which is the second month, April to May, and let's turn to 1 Kings. Turn to 1 Kings. This will just show us that we have correct calendar. 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse 1, it says right here that some of them are inferred through the margin. It came to pass in the 480th year after the children of Israel came out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month of Ziv, which is the second month. Now, if you look into the margin, that is Iyar. Sometimes it's spelled A-Y-Y-A-R, but I-Y-A-R. But that is the second month. Now let's go to Heshvan, the eighth month, October, November, by 1 Kings. This is just a little further back. 1 Kings chapter 8. I'm sorry, 1 Kings chapter 6. It was right there where we were. Go back to chapter 6. We just were. And turn and to verse 38 of 1 Kings 6. It says, in the 11th year, in the month of Bul, which is the 8th month, if you look in the margin, you'll see that that is Heshvan, October or November. And now let's go to Tishri. That's 1 Kings chapter 8, just a little further over, chapter 8 and verse 2. And we'll see, it says, therefore all the men of Israel assembled with King Solomon at the feast of the month of Ethanim, which is the 7th month. You look in there and that's Tishri. And now let's go to Elul, that's Nehemiah chapter 6. Nehemiah chapter 6. Chapter 6 and verse 15. Right here. So the wall was finished. This is Jerusalem when they were building the wall. So the wall was finished on the 25th day of Elul in 52 days. Elul, the 6th month, August to September. And then Tebeth, the 10th month, December to January time frame, is in Esther. So let's turn over to Esther. And we will read in chapter 2 and verse 16 of Esther. 2:16, and we'll say, it says here, so Esther was taken to King Ahasuerus into his royal palace in the 10th month, which is the month of Tebeth. And then Adar, which is the last month, the 12th month, in February-March time frame. That's right here in chapter 3 of Esther and verse 7. In the first month, which is the month of Nisan, that's another name for Abib, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, they cast Pur, that is, the lot, before Haman to determine the day and the month until it fell on the 12th month, which is the month of Adar. So that's the 12th month of God's calendar. And then Sivan, the third month. That's in Esther chapter 8. Let's go over here to chapter 8 and verse 9, where it says, so the king's scribes were called at that time in the third month, which is the month of Sivan. So there we see that's the third month in May or June. And then Shevet, this 11th month, let's turn to Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 1. Zechariah. Okay. Get back here to Zechariah chapter 1 and verse 7, where it says, on the 24th day of the 11th month, which is the month Shebat. And then finally Kislev, which is the 9th month, November, December, and that's in Nehemiah. Back to Nehemiah chapter 1. Turn back to Nehemiah. Nehemiah 1 and verse 1 says right there, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hechaliah, it came to pass in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year. And Kislev is the 9th month, November to December. Now here's a list of all the months that we went through. And I already went through almost every one of them there in God's Word. So the others fall out. And it just shows the common year, the 12 months of the common year. And I don't know how well you can see this, but that's what they are. And they have the months, the days of the months for each one. That's in this column. And the other column is a different kind. It's an intercalary year. It has a 13th month, which is a 8R2. That's an extra one that we'll talk about later. But those are the months that we just went through. And let's keep going. So in setting up an accurate calendar, that's what we're trying to do in a basic way, you have to relate the days to the lunar month and the 12 lunar months to the solar year. Each month of God's calendar starts with the faint crescent of the new moon, which means making new. And let's turn to Numbers 10. Turn to Numbers 10. Okay. Numbers 10 and verse 10, where it says, also in the day of your gladness, in your appointed feasts, at the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings, and it goes further. And then Psalms 81, verse 3, Psalms 81 and verse 3, it says, blow the trumpet at the time of the capital new moon and at the full moon on our solemn feast day. We went through this, but it's always good to know this. And then the important verse 4, for this is a statute for Israel, a law of God, a law of the God of Jacob. Now, the average length of time between the monthly new moons is slightly more than 29 and a half days. Therefore, one month in general has 30 days, is how they handled it, and the next month would have 29 days, and that's what it was showing here. In an alternating, consistent manner, and that's what on God's calendar, each one of those months, you'll notice it's 30, 29, 30, 29, 30, 29, and that's how they're kind of handling this. And the basic way of making sure that they have the correct time and the average comes into an average. So this is all necessary in keeping the calendar accurate so that the lunar months, that lunar month time and my average, are consistent within a solar year now. We'll get into this now. So other minor adjustments from this pattern will take care of the remaining fraction of the month. Now, each solar year is approximately, as we know, 365 and a quarter days. The Hebrew calendar year normally has 12, on a common year, 12 lunar months, summing up to only 354 days. So if you notice that, there's a pretty good difference. Unless something was done to fit within the 19-year solar year time cycle, the Hebrew calendar, as we would see, starting with the month Abib, would slip about 11 days behind the seasons each year that went by, and would further slip over a month behind the seasons within just a few years when you start tacking on those 11 days each time. And after several years, the Hebrew calendar would slip actually well back into the winter. That's because it's shorter than the solar year. So it would keep moving back into the winter months instead of keeping it at the spring months. But that's a key. God's calendar keeps this in the spring months, as we'll see right now. So to solve this difficulty, an extra 13th month had to be inserted near the end of the common 12-month Hebrew calendar. And that's that intercalary year on this, the opposite side, that's the intercalary year. And you'll notice at the bottom is Adar 2. That's that extra 13th month, Adar 2. And it just so happens that in 2022, that is an intercalary year with an added 13th month, Adar 2. And you'll notice that on the calendar on the website if you go there. Now, the calendar was also consistent with God's command to keep the festivals or appointed times throughout the year connected to the annual grain harvest in the whole region surrounding Jerusalem. Otherwise, the first holy day would occur in the winter time instead of the spring harvest season, which we just saw an example, that marching back that we just saw. And knowing this, it was necessary that a 13th month had to be inserted every 2 or 3 years during the 19-year time cycle. I have a chart showing this. God intended that the 13th month, called Adar 1, actually, and then Adar 2 was the other one, be added to the calendar. In other words, both months are Adar, and Adar 1 or 2, or Adar and Adar 1. That this would be added to the calendar to bring the lunar year back into a close agreement. It's not exact, but it's into a close agreement with the solar year. And this 13th month, called an intercalary month, was added, and this is very important during the 19-year time cycle. Every third, because there are seven of them, the third, the sixth, the eighth, the 11th, the 14th, the 17th, and 19th year, which are the long 13-month years in God's 19-year time cycle. Now, this is interesting and very good. I haven't seen any, actually. You're looking at it right here. This is that time cycle chart. It's the current 19-year time cycle chart, starting from 2016, and it goes to 2035. Sure if you can see that, but that shows all those years during that time frame, and you'll notice the shaded purple, those are the intercalary years with that extra 13th month added to them. There's seven of them. You can count them, and they are staggered through the 19-year time cycle, that third, sixth, eighth, 11th, 14th, 19th, and that final year, the 19th. So the other normal years within the cycle, they are the common 12-month years. And seven times in the 19-year time cycle, as just said, this 13th month, it must be added to keep that year in accord with the seasons. then the time cycle is repeated over and over again. In other words, if time keeps going on before Christ returns, and even then, that next 19-year time cycle will start from 2035 to 2036. So we see that, and that would start it, and then it would be another 19-year time cycle added to that. So to summarize, there are 12 common years in the 19-year time cycle and 7 intercalary years that always make up the complete 19-year time cycle and results in a perfect agreement between the solar time, total time, and the lunar time. Every 19 years, they're in perfect agreement. And then it starts over with the next 19-year cycle. And this has been going on from way back. And the Jews, the Israelites, and now the Jews are keeping that calculating of God's calendar that way, and it's very accurate. Now this prevented, and this is what we just learned, this prevented the first month from drifting back into the winter time period by adding those 7 intercalary years with that extra intercalary month in there. This formula keeps the biblical year within its proper seasons, and it allows the Passover and Days of Unleavened Bread to be kept during the month of Abib so that the wave sheaf can be offered at the beginning of the spring harvest season. It's all important. Bring all that together. And God gave certain men long ago that special understanding as to when to add these extra months. Now, right now, we are in the 6th year, and that's what that showed us, the 6th year of the current 19-year time cycle, which began on the Feast of Trumpets, October 3rd, 2016, and will continue until the Feast of Trumpets, October 4th, 2035. This coming year, which will be 2022, is an intercalary year, which has that extra 13th month added. So how would you go about setting up a calendar from year to year so that it would be based on God's word to keep the holy days and festivals in their seasons at their appointed times? And as it states in 1 Corinthians, we won't turn there, 14 and verse 40, God has a certain order for determining his holy days. Everything's done in decency and order. God is consistent and predictable in his ways. It was God's responsibility to see that they were preserved down to our time. And consider these facts. The new moon always starts each lunar month. And the Feast of Trumpets, which is the capital new moon, is the focal point. It's important to note that is the focal point in determining the calendar and calculating all the other festivals and holy days. Now, once the Feast of Trumpets is calculated and fixed as the first calendar day of the 7th month each year, which is the 1st of Tishri, then all the spring holy days and the fall holy days are determined starting from this date. Extremely important. This all happens within the successive years of the 19-year time cycle. And it was determined that the number of days of the first 7 months of the calendar, this is important too, in which occur all the annual holy days, is set and never changes. We notice each one of those days were set from Abib to Tishri. Therefore, any other calendar adjustments can only be made outside the remaining months of the year, which is exactly what the Jews do. There is a need for one. The first 7 months have alternating fixed days. Now we're going to go through this. The first month, which is Abib, has 30 days. The second month, which is Iyar, has 29. The third month, which is Sivan, has 30. The fourth month, which is Tammuz, has 29. The fifth month, which is Av, has 30. The sixth month, which is Elul, has 29. And the seventh month, which is Tishri, has 30. So we see that the total number of days from the first of Tishri back to the first of Abib is always 177 days. According to God's calendar in 2022, the Monday of September 26 is the first of Tishri, which is the calculated fixed date for the Feast of Trumpets. And if we count back 177 days from September 26, we will arrive at the first of Abib, April 2nd of this coming year, 2022. And starting from here, all the annual holy days, as we see, and festivals can be calculated according to the biblical requirements of Leviticus 23. For example, in the first month, the 14th day from the first of Abib is a Passover, which is April 15th, 2022, observed the previous evening. And in the seventh month, the 10th day from the first of Tishri is the Day of Atonement, which is October 5th, 2022. Now, the church uses the same calendar that the Jews have preserved, including the postponements, which are simply calendar adjustments that determine which day should be proclaimed as the first day of Tishri, the seventh month, which is, as we know, the Feast of Trumpets. And that's critical, finding that first day proclaimed and calculated as the first of Tishri, the Feast of Trumpets. And according to God's statutory law, found in Psalms 81, which we've already read, verse 3 and 4, the postponements also ensures that the full moon on the 15th of Tishri starts the Feast of Tabernacles. And we will summarize some examples of the postponement rules, which are, and it's important because the postponements, even some of God's congregation and God's church have gone off in this. So we have to understand the postponements are used, and the Jews use that to calculate the first of Tishri. Now, first, the calculated faint crescent of the moon must occur on the Day of Trumpets, which is the first calendar day of Tishri. That's a rule. And second, the calculated first day of Tishri cannot fall on a Sunday, a Wednesday, or Friday. It is postponed to the following day, and that is to Monday, Thursday, or Saturday. This means that the Feast of Trumpets can only fall on a Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, or Saturday. And you can prove this if you go back to all the festivals, all the years back, God's church, you will see that the first of Tishri, Feast of Trumpets, always fell on and always were on a Monday, a Tuesday, Thursday, or Saturday. Never fell on a Sunday, Wednesday, or Friday. That's part of the postponement rules. And there's reasons for this. We'll go into that right now. So, now the autumn is a time of general harvest. People are working and gathering in the latter harvest right up to the day or two before the Feast of Tabernacles. This is in Jerusalem area. The harvest was important and was a time of ingathering. And spiritually speaking, the latter harvest denotes the complete harvest of all people on the earth after Christ returns. This harvesting is so important that nothing is allowed to interfere with it except God's weekly and annual Sabbaths, which are even more important, both of which are days of rest and need to have preparation days. So the Feast of Trumpets cannot fall on a Sunday. It must be postponed to Monday. And what we're talking about is when you go through a calculation, it can fall on any of those days, but if it falls on these days, it has that we're talking about, first, the first one being Sunday, you have to postpone to the next day. and if it falls on Sunday, it must be postponed to Monday, because the weekly Sabbath of solemn rest would then be the preparation day, which is not allowed. The Feast of Trumpets cannot fall on a Wednesday. It must be postponed to Thursday, because 10 days later, the Day of Atonement, which requires no manner of work, would fall on a Friday, the preparation day for the weekly Sabbath. Now, the Feast of Trumpets cannot fall on a Friday. It must be postponed to Saturday, because this would cause the Feast of Trumpets, a holy day, to fall on a preparation day for the weekly Sabbath, which is not allowed. Now, I went through a hand calculation based on a procedure, and it actually just came out to Monday, the second day of the week. And then you go ahead and bring it up. You calculate the Julian date, which is that was a calendar before the Gregorian calendar that we use. You calculate that date, and then you add the 13 days to bring you to the Gregorian date, which is what we use in our calendar for the Gregorian calendar. Now, there's two other postponement rules. They occur less frequent than the primary ones just mentioned, and they regulate the number of days, which affect only the common years of God's calendar. So all of these postponement rules are necessary and only apply to setting the first calendar day of the seventh month of Tishri. That's the key. Once you know that, then you know how to calculate all the other annual holy days and festivals of God's calendar. So we have shown how the number 19 has been used as a significant number in church history, of God's church. Also, how very clear it is that God has provided mankind with his holy calendar, a lunar solar calendar that is calculated on the basis of the 19-year time cycle, with the Feast of Trumpets truly being the focal point and determine his calendar year after year at new moon for the seventh month. He has preserved that calendar through the Jewish people. Through them, God has given us his sacred calendar so we could worship and honor him by observing his commanded holy days and festivals. And let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 20. Ezekiel chapter 20, and we'll see why in verse 12 and verse 20 of Ezekiel 20. It says, "Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbaths," that's plural form, the weekly and annual Sabbaths, "to be a sign between them and me, and that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them." And then verse 20, "Hallow my Sabbaths, and they will be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord your God."